This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron number 594, recorded on October 31st, 2018. What day? Oh, that's right. It's Halloween. And to celebrate, we have a skeleton crew.
Yeah.
Yay.
Totally a dad joke. What can I say? I am Jason. I'm filling in for Brian. He is currently, as you know, now that he has kids, he's actually has to do this trick or treating thing, which you might be asking, Jason, don't you have a kid? I do. He did his a couple weeks ago. So that's good enough, right? He actually wanted to hand out candy this year.
Weeks.
His grandmother has a camper at a KOA, and they do a trick or treat early October, and he got a ton of stuff there. So, and he was excited to hand out candy tonight.
Yeah. Well, Jason, I just have to say though, on that joke, you just really boned that one in.
Thank you, Don. And of course, that is Don Ferguson, Headmaster Don himself. We are also joined fresh off of TFCon by Diecast Matt. And we have Eric Crownover with us this week.
Woo!
So I think we're going to make this real quick. Don and I are going to get our little, you know, what we got out of the way. I'll go even quicker than Don probably because I didn't get anything, but I did build my Flames Toy Prime.
Ooh, oh, damn you.
I love it. It did take I didn't really keep super track of how much time I was spending, but it was probably, it was about 2.5, 3 hours, I think, in there. It wasn't continuous because, you know, I had stuff to do throughout, but you know, I'd build like the torso, then the arms and the legs. And once they're all built, they plug together pretty quick. But, doing as many repro labels as I have done really helped with, getting him stickered up. Cause there's some tiny stickers on this guy. But he's very nice, and I have Nemesis. I talked to Anthony a little earlier today, and he is going to have Nemesis Prime out to me in a few days, and then I'll get to do it all over again. So, but hey, $35 if you like building, you know, if you have a couple hours to spend and don't mind building the model, I think it's super posable too, which is nice. And he seems to hold up well; he isn't falling apart or anything. So I'm perfectly happy with him.
Now I watched Emgo's review of him. Right. Did you glue some of those parts, or yes. Will you be gluing those?
Yeah, because Erica had actually told me when we were doing the last "There Goes My Money" that his friend had built it and that he had needed some glue. So I knew going into it, I'd gotten some model cement. So yeah, it's his butt plate and his like the front of his crotch here, right above the hip skirts. And yeah. I think there might be one or two other places too, but oh, and yeah,
I remember
they did the stacks
in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah. The stacks and the shoulders, I think, as well, the plates on the shoulders.
Yeah. And I think it actually tells, does it? No, maybe it didn't tell you to do the stacks, but it tells you when you have to do it. So yeah. Thumbs up. 100% love it. I have, obviously Nemesis Prime's coming, and I have the IDW Prime on pre-order as well. So I'll be building him when he comes as well.
Well, I'm glad you told me all of that, Jason.
Oh.
As bad as I am at building model kits, I decided to go ahead and get this Flame Toys Optimus because I love the stylized design. It reminds me a lot of Stryker Manus from Make Toys. Mm-hmm. I like Stryker Manus. I like Rider Megatron. This will fit in good with that aesthetic. It's not Trion 3, but it's also a bit cheaper, and if I screw up, I can get another one a little bit easier.
Oh yeah,
I'm looking forward to building it. I just, again, I am terrible. I haven't built any models since the Gundam Wing models were released in the U.S. when Gundam Wing was on Cartoon Network. So it's been a while. The other thing I got, Rengar.
Oh yes,
yay!
Yep.
Online? So
no, local store.
Oh,
yes, and I have an extra.
I think so, Chris and Rob found them as well. I'm not sure.
Yep. So I went ahead and got him just because why not? I mean, you know, why not? It's just he does look good on that groove mold. I think fans have found a way to hide for that, which is weird that they molded the Generations Axe with this. That's just so weird that they would do that from that one part of that one mold. But he looks good. I look forward to him. He'll probably never be combined with anybody, but you know, I like it. It's nice.
Very cool.
And that's pretty much it.
All right. All right. So Eric is definitely going last. We've established that early on.
That's okay.
Let's go with Matt. How about you? What did you procure this weekend?
Actually, not as many Transformers as you would think.
Ooh.
Going to a Transformers convention, but I did get a couple of those. We'll start off. I found comic book colors, Rat-Bat Masterpiece style.
Oh, nice.
Really like him.
Wonderful. What was that, Matt? I'm sorry. I didn't see that. I'm sorry.
Comic book colors, Masterpiece Rat-Bat from the club.
Oh, cool. Oh, that part of that last set they did.
Yeah. I also found Botcon Starscream off the Terror Dive mold for a very, very good price, I thought.
Yeah.
Wow.
Love this mold so much.
Yeah, that mold
is fantastic.
It is. You know, that could be the new secret mold for me, and I don't think I would mind. Or a complete set of Cyber Jets from it.
Yes. Another Starscream. I got Golden Lagoon Starscream Combiner Wars.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Very shiny. So shiny.
Now you know what people that have Goldoran look at sometimes when they look into the chrome.
And I got Cheddar Cheese Ruination.
All right.
You know, I was looking at the Urban Camo one too, but people want $100 for that set.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, this was about 50. So I was willing to do that for, you know, five figures. I thought that worked out pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, that camo set, that Urban Camo has always fetched a lot more than the other version.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get a blanket? So
I did get a blanket. Of course I got a blanket. I get a blanket every year. I always go straight to Bobby Skullface. But Devastator.
Nice.
Sweet. Bobby does really great stuff. He really does.
Yeah.
He really does. And what makes it even better is I snagged this out of the hands of somebody else who wanted it in line right behind me. But another podcaster.
Another podcaster. Then we hung out with him later in the weekend.
Yeah. Ooh. Aaron from Autopod Decepticast. He's fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
So that's the Transformers related stuff I got at the show. I did get some assorted Marvel Legends. So I've got Bullseye and Man-Thing are already on my Thunderbolt shelf back there.
Well, now is that Man-Thing the Toy Biz version?
No, it's the Build-A-Figure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I bought those off Eric, along with an older version of Venom and the Superior Spider-Man, which are up here out of sight. And I got really good prices on a Multiple Man and Taskmaster.
I saw the Storm from that way. I saw the Storm.
So do I. That was $10.
Nice. Wow.
But not a Scarlet Spider.
No.
Not that I'm bitter. Yeah, I was going to say, not that we're bitter at all, but
I'm very bitter. I don't know what you're talking about.
The classic Toy Biz card and one's Scarlet Spider's in that wave coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. He was supposed to be, they told us he was going to be at the show and then he didn't show up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was going to say, we went over on Sunday after Saturday. Mm-hmm. He specifically told me, like, oh, yeah, we'll have that. Walked over Sunday and they were like, oh no, they took those to the other show that we're at. And I was like,
didn't they do a Ben Reilly Spider-Man not that long ago in Marvel Legends, the regular wave?
Yeah, but I still want that was a while ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't.
But yes, I have it, but I still want the new one.
Okay.
Very much so. Because it also has the Ben Reilly head and it's also painted different. It's more of a shiny red and there's no black outline on his eyes.
Okay.
And I also bought a couple Power Rangers things. I got a Super Zeo Megazord and a Turbo Megazord, but they're way up there on the top shelf already, so I'm not going to drag those down. But I made an incredibly expensive trip down Artist Alley.
Ooh.
So I went and got a print of G2 Sideswipe from Kazama.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Very nice. And then I hit Sarah Petra DeRoche. I can never pronounce her name right, but the print she did for McFeely's book, I believe.
The Historia, yeah.
And Josh Perez's G2 animated Autobots.
Oh, that is nice.
Oh, yeah.
And an Alex Milne Soundwave and his cassettes.
Now I'm jealous.
And a Josh Burcham season 3 crew.
I love Josh's art. I love his artwork so much.
Yeah. And Casey Collier's crew at the bar.
Same with Casey.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm
by this point I had spent a whole lot of money, so I had to make Thomas Deere my last spot, and I just got a map of Cybertron.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I want a Cybertron globe someday.
Yeah. So yeah. I would have kept going, but my funds were depleting at a rapid pace by the time I got to Thomas Deere. So
I bet
that is not a valid excuse. I'm just kidding. It's a very valid excuse.
And then, of course, I had stuff waiting for me when I got home.
Of course.
Some Legacy Power Rangers figures. I got the Dino Thunder White Ranger and Psycho Red and Psycho Blue in the incredibly wrong shade of blue, but still they look very,
that's almost Allspark blue.
My camera's making it look darker than it is too. So, but they're all really well sculpted, but the tolerances are going to crap really quick. Like, especially in the leg area, there's a lot of looseness in those joints that kind of make them hard to stand. So, hope Hasbro's Lightning Collection does some Psycho Rangers is all I can say. And Batman the Animated Series on Blu-ray.
Oh,
woo-hoo.
Nice.
I would love to see, there's like 3 episodes that I would love. I would love to see Beware the Great Ghost on that. That's I think that's my favorite episode.
And one more thing I did pick up at the show. I stopped by Planet Funk. A couple of really great guys. I talked to Marcus God for like probably a couple hours over the weekend, and I picked up some of their self-produced comics and a couple of works of art of original characters. I figure you'd like that one. Very, very Tux inspired.
Oh yeah, nice. I love that.
Yeah. So yeah, those guys are great. I stopped and talked to Marcus every day. I saw him for extended amounts of time. And that is all I got, I think.
Oh, that's it, huh?
Yeah.
Wait, did you mention the
slow week for me?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, I just couldn't remember.
All right, Diecast, you're up.
All right. I got right there. He's kind of in the video. I got the Encore Skylynx go. Yeah. So he can be with my MMC Skylynx when I finish that.
Which I will be asking you about later.
I also got my Halloween. This was a surprise exclusive at the TFCon. This was Ocular Max's, and I think I have it upside down. Sorry about that. The Ocular Max Azalea Stealth. This is the Masterpiece RC that they're doing that's not out yet, but this is the black version, and this one for TFCon actually has an orange pumpkin face, which is really sinister looking. And you can see on the box she has like this sinister face to her.
Yeah.
And a couple people I talked to were like, oh, I need that for my DJD shelf. And I could totally see that. She would fit right in with those guys. So I haven't opened it yet. Obviously it comes in vehicle mode, but the robot mode is substantially larger. Everyone was surprised at how small the box was on this. Here's the top of the box, so you can kind of get a look at the figure.
Yeah, I actually had to stop at the mastermind table, and they had one in vehicle mode next to the robot. I had to ask him if it was the same figure.
Yeah.
Wow. Like that's how much that compresses.
Yeah, it's crazy. And this was not there in the morning. This only showed up halfway through Saturday, I would say.
Really?
Yeah, so it was and of course we didn't know it was going to be there before got there.
They actually made like a PA announcement during the show on Saturday in the dealer room that there was another exclusive there,
which I didn't even hear, so but I was really glad I got to pick this up.
How much was that one? Since it was it, did that affect the price at all? How much?
No, 100.
Under. Okay.
I got the G2 Crack Up. That was one of the other exclusives.
Yeah. Like those colors.
Yeah, that is really pretty, but the actual colors on the toy are a little bit darker than that.
Hmm.
This one I picked up is Masterpiece Loud Pedal.
Oh yeah,
that nice. Is so it's so pretty.
Such a I gorgeous. Got that for a great price too.
I'm only slightly jealous so far. Matt had me at a certain level. Diecast is getting me up there a little more. Eric's just going to make me die.
And then this came from Transformers Land. I got the reformatted Hot Rod in the standard colors because I didn't have the standard colors. And I really like how it looks. It's grown on me. It was one of those I should have picked it up. So I saw it. It was the right price. So I got it.
This is one of those times where I can actually tell you, yes, that's a good toy.
It's a and good then, toy. That's actually all I got. I don't know where it is. I got a G2 Air Raid on card. But that's
pretty much all I got. Jet.
Wait, did
cyber
you mention jet. Quietus?
No. Quietus I got before the show.
But still after the show last
week. Yeah, you got it within the last week, though.
Yeah. And the cockpit doesn't close. So
loop it.
Well, Doc,
other than that, a surprisingly beautiful figure.
It is a beautiful amazing. Figure, and I love it. I just wish the cockpit would close.
Now I've got the Elegos from X Transbots to go with that Scourge.
Yeah.
How does it compare?
I don't have Elgos,
I thought you did. I'm sorry.
Scourge looks like the X Transbots version looks like a toy compared to this as a premium display piece, I guess you could say. So in robot mode, he's actually absolutely beautiful. But again, I will tell everyone he does have an issue with the cockpit. Some people are saying you need to file it down in order to get this to actually sit flush. There's a peg inside here that's too big, or the hole's too small, or you know, however you want to say it.
And that is a
frequently
Yeah, that is a frequently reported problem with that figure too. It's pretty much every figure.
I think there was some reports that maybe there was something mistransformed, but we tried a couple of different things at the show and nothing could work.
Yeah, Dan was there, Opterod, and he got his, and he was letting me mess around with his because mine was still at home. And those tabs make absolutely no difference on the back of the legs, whether you have them pegged into the back legs or not, because the problem is with the front, not the back. So I also got version 3, Ollie.
Okay, and, so is that
a tape hold off? I took it out. It's so much better.
Because I remember the first time it came out was just an absolute god awful mess, and the second
terrifying.
Time was slightly better from what I saw in the reviews, but it was still like, don't buy this figure.
I mean, the legs don't move at all. It's hard to see because I'm sure it's coming up blurry on the screen when I shake it, but he can actually stand, whereas my other Ollie can't even stand. He just buckles under his own weight. I'm really happy that I finally have something that won't fall over in my display every time I walk by it, which is currently what happens. I think I'll transform that one into vehicle mode and just leave it like that. But
it'll still fall over.
Yeah, it'll still probably. And then also when I got back, I got my Generations toy helicopter, which came in a surprisingly big box because it's so long. But this is the second of their Protecto bots. So really nice helicopter. I haven't transformed it yet. I just messed around with the helicopter a little bit. But yeah, that's other than probably a couple extra pounds from those Chicago deep dish pizzas. That's all I got.
Well, you have to come back with that. All right, Eric, I'm going to go ahead and put your photo from Instagram up. So go ahead and tell us. I mean, you don't necessarily. All right,
Hold on really quick. Before we start with Eric's stuff, does anybody need to take a bathroom break?
I just spilled my soda. So I do need to take a break, but you guys can keep going.
Okay. All right, Eric.
Okay, so first off, the one thing, I literally left one thing out of this picture after assembling it for so long, and the one thing I left out was the Takara Golden Lagoon Combiner Wars Starscream, which looks very pretty, even though I haven't opened it yet. The reason I forgot to put it in was because, yeah, I was going to say, Matt has his, but mine, I bought one of the ones that the box was wrapped in white paper, so I had it set off to the side, and then I didn't notice it whenever I was going to actually put everything on the couch, because it was just a box wrapped in white paper. I was like, I just, you know, passed over it. But yeah, so that's the only thing not in the picture that I got. Okay, so I'm like, where do I even start? Okay, let's start with the not Transformers, because there's barely anything. I got Marvel Legends Doc Ock, who was only 20 from that Marvel Legends dealer that Matt was talking about, so I was very happy to score him. I got the Marvel Legends Archangel, which was on sale too, who I also really like. And then the last Marvel Legends was the Thor Ragnarok Build-A-Figure from that wave, Gladiator Hulk, who was pretty cool. Okay. Oh, and then I guess not Transformers also is I got the Unrustables figure, the black and yellow one, and okay. I gotta say I really love that thing, like really love that thing so far, so I may have to get another one or two of them whenever I think the white one's out. I don't know if any others are, but
I've heard good things about them.
You say they have my attention now for sure, so,
yeah. I saw you playing with that during one of the panels.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sold on him. Movie stuff, let's see. I got some random free stuff that was in the bin. There's a couple like random statues of like tiny statues of Optimus Prime and Bumblebee. I got Last Night Bumblebee and Crosshairs for only $5 a piece because they were from Ollie's. I got Studio Series Dark of the Moon Ratchet and Shadow Raider. Still need another Shadow Raider so I could have two to flank lockdown. Also, I would have gotten an Ironhide if I would have gotten to the target that was there like 5 minutes earlier. But I got there, didn't see an Ironhide, so I was like, oh, okay, you know, that's fine. But then I turned down the aisle and see someone like literally flash it at us and laugh and run away. And I was just like, what the heck, man? Like I could have just gone on not knowing that there was an Ironhide there that I missed, but no, this guy had to show it off and laugh and run away. It's like, oh, come on. So that was interesting. Great. Yeah. Then I got Movie Masterpiece Barricade, Movie Masterpiece Bumblebee from the Bumblebee movie, Unique Toys Peru Kill, although I got the KO version, which is just as high quality. It to me at least, because I have handled the actual Peru Kill. It seems like the exact same. I think the dog is just a different color. It's just darker, which I like. And then also I got Unique Toys Challenger, who I actually transformed today, and it is literally the best transforming toy that I own. Like
I told you, it was pretty good to transform.
You still said that you think Peru Kill's better. I think Challenger is definitely better.
Yeah,
Peru Kill has crappy hands. I like Peru Kill is amazing, and I love Peru Kill. His hands are crappy, and he doesn't have a rotation at the elbow or like bicep. That's the only complaints I can bring about him. Whereas Challenger has like amazing hand finger articulation, good sculpted hands. He has perfect forearms.
You know your forearms and biceps are very important.
Perfect forearms and just his articulation. He's just so good. He literally actually transforms inside out, and it is fantastic. It's not
so
hard.
He's a Popple.
But. He's basically Dinobot, but actually succeeds at both modes. Like that's the way I would describe it. Is that I think he's like Masterpiece Dinobot, except he wins in both modes. So yeah, I got the Takara. I don't know what the line name is, the their Nemesis Prime, the Voyager Optimus from the Last Night, but it has the totally like much darker colors, the purple eyes, the purple sword, since we never got a Nemesis Prime toy. So I was like, yeah, you know what, I'll snag that. I think that's all the movie stuff. I also got, oh no, I forgot the Best Buy I got. I got the Takara Jetwing Optimus Prime from Dark of the Moon for only $50. Which that runs for a lot more than that. So I was quite happy with that purchase. It is awesome. Yeah. I got the Chaos Paladin, the Fallen set, which I'm excited to open. I got Black Convoy for $65, which was better than the $100 I saw most running for in the dealer room. But then I did see one for $50, so I was a little sad about that. But you know,
which Black Convoy?
The one from the G2 mold, like Scourge, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah, Scourge. Okay.
Let's see. I got the X Transwatts, the G2 crack up. I got Magic Square Ultra Magnus, which is an awesome Legends class.
Mine is in route. I can't wait to get it.
So good. Oh, I also got the leader. It's not leader class, but I don't know what the price point is. The Bumblebee from the Bumblebee movie that has the electronics, the flip out mask, and the flip out blade on his wrist. And I gotta say, I actually really like that toy. Like, it is actually bigger than a current leader class. And it has electronics and flip out parts and everything. So I think that it's actually a really good toy, especially for any kids that want it.
Yeah, what is that considered? What class is that?
It is basically what leader class used to be. I don't know what they're calling it now. Like, I don't know what this is because it's the only figure at that price point.
Right.
I also got Takara G2 Megatron. Very happy about that. I also got Bumblebee Movie, the cassette 3-pack with the one step changer B. I got, what's the Megatron? What is the Megatron? The Transmetal 2 Megatron. What company?
Perfect Effect.
I do not know. I literally cannot remember Perfect Effect to save my life. I've forgotten it every single time I've tried to say it. Perfect Effects, Transmetal 2 Megatron, which is gorgeous. The wingspan is just absolutely stunning. I got Terracon Bumblebee from Transformers Prime, which is a figure I've actually wanted for a long time, and I signed it for $20, which I was very happy with. I got an Amazon Prime, like, as a character art, also a little picture of Tarn. Cyberverse, Ultra Class, Shockwave, who is magnificent, and Warrior Class Megatron, who is actually also pretty good. Deluxe Animated Blur, Deluxe Animated Jazz, Leader Class Shadow Megatron from Animated. Is it Shadow Blade, I think? I don't know. Yeah. But the black and purple one.
So. Yeah.
Which is awesome. I got the exclusive Construct Core, which is also super, super cool.
And also sold out at the show.
Yeah. MMC Deadlock, which I'm very excited to open. The Perfect Combiner Magnus, the one that's like the inner bot, the inner white cab bot for Magnus, Leader Class Ultra Magnus. What's the 2-pack I got? It has Ultra Magnus and someone else. It's from what series is it?
Armada.
Armada.
The Bendy Prime mold, but it's Ultra Magnus.
Yeah, so that Magnus. And then I think last but not least. Oh, I also got MMC's the armor for the Nova Prime.
Just the armor.
I just need the inner bot now, apparently. yeah.
Eric was like, Eric was like, man, this is a great price. And Diecast like, I don't think the core robot's in there.
Oh, and then I also got some Legends class Shockwave from third party with the purple Diaclone suit.
That would be MechFans Toys, I believe.
MechFans Toys. Yeah,
it's really good. I really like that. I also got something I didn't know existed before the show, but the black and purple version, it was a Takara, some convention exclusive of the War for Cybertron Megatron mold. My co-host Miguel and I split it. He took the black Optimus Prime from that 2-pack, and I took the Megatron because he took it out of the box, and it was just the most gorgeous black and purple I've ever seen. So. Yeah.
It's generally referred to as Darkseid Megatron, and it was a exclusive
E-Hobby.
I think it was a E-Hobby or Toys R Us, one or the other. But I think you may be right. I think you're right. I think it was E-Hobby.
I'm pretty sure it was E-Hobby. I have the set.
Yeah. And you're younger than me, and you remember better. So.
And then I got Planet X Ultra Magnus, which I think is called Apollo, which is honestly one of the most refreshing takes on Ultra Magnus in a long, long time. If anyone's like considering pulling the trigger on him, I cannot recommend him enough. Like, he was, that's just the number one word I'd use to describe him was just so refreshing. I loved it.
Yeah. That's the only Planet X figure I own, and I like it. It looks good. It's a solid figure. but I don't plan on buying any more anytime soon.
I have the Nemesis Prime, and I loved it, and that's what sold me on it. So now I got the Magnus, and I'm considering more, considering the Insecticons, so I think might be my next goal.
I really want that Prime mold in some fashion, so I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I have two. I have two of it now. I would highly recommend either the Nemesis or the Ultra Magnus. Both are awesome. I would totally buy their Megatron if they do it in the dark side colors, the black and purple. If they did some like exclusive deco, I'd buy it instantly. Cause God, the purple on that is just so shiny and amazing. And then last, but certainly not least, I got Takara Bisk.
Of course.
The Warrior. Cause I needed it.
Orange Bisk.
Yeah. Which I had bought it for $20 cause someone helped me find it. Miguel also pointed that out and helped me find it. And then someone else actually came up to me later that day and was like, look, I bought this Takara Bisk for $25. Basically just like saying, hey, check this out. Like, and I was like, oh yeah, I just signed one for 20. He's like, oh, I thought this was the only one I could see at the show, but I knew you'd like it. Saying they were a fan of the show. So that was definitely, I liked, that was nice. Funny. I liked that a lot. I loved that someone showed me their Bisk. That was fantastic.
At least it was just their Bisk. Whew.
Oh gosh.
I showed him my Bisk too.
Oh no. No.
Well, oh jeez.
What?
I just noticed that my 7-Eleven Optimus, the finger, one of the finger joints has popped out and the finger is missing.
Ooh.
Oh wait. That reminds me of something that I handled. Flames
you didn't
Toys
buy was- it though.
Oh, no, no, yeah. I didn't buy it, but I handled it. Flame Toys, Tarn. They had their Shatterglass Drift and Tarn there, and the lady asked me if I wanted to hold the Tarn, and of course I said yes. I was just like, I can't have that offered to me and not hold it, and now I need to buy it. But, yeah, I was messing around with the fingers, because they're all individually articulated on ball joints and stuff, so they can really move, and then one of them popped off, and for a split second I was terrified, like, oh, no. This is worth more than I could spend right now. Like, that can't be happening. And then I noticed it's a ball joint. I was like, okay, phew. Man, that toy is fantastic. And before I was like, oh, I really want that, but you know, I can't afford that. Now after handling it, it's like, I'm gonna somehow afford that.
I will find a way. All right. Well, sounds like you guys got plenty of stuff. All right, so real quick, just so we don't completely break format this week, this week in history, in 1985, the Transformers episode The Autobot Run premiered in the U.S., and in 1986, Nightmare Planet premiered in the U.S., and shameless plug, if you want to hear my take on Autobot Run, listen to TF Transformers University episode 18, where Ant had me on to talk about the episode where Megatron actually had a decent plan to destroy the Autobots, just didn't work out quite the way he wanted. All right, so for the big news this week, I kind of just picked what we saw in TFCon because I figured since we had three people who were there, we have plenty of chances to talk about it. Okay, so we're going to get into some of the things that, and these are pictures from Diecast, so thank you, Diecast, for your hard work there. Real quick,
no
though,
problem.
I know that they had a, it seemed like they had a lot of product out there for people to mess around with. I know Inventa was one of them, so I do want to get your take on that. Was there more than what we've seen previously, or did I just not notice as much last year?
I mean, MMC had a little bit, and you know, any companies that wanted to could send in stuff for the display cases that were the official TFCon display cases. There's mostly the ones in the Agabus cases, because those cases were donated to TFCon by Agabus. Agabus had such a large amount of floor space at that convention. They had a ton of stuff.
I was very surprised.
Yeah, that fans hobby overlord is just amazing in person.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, that tank. I can't wait for that thing. I'm really hoping they're gonna send me a review copy, because I would love to review that figure.
It's
just beautiful.
Did you get a review copy of Power Baser?
Yes.
Then there's hope.
There is hope. They sent me the hands and head for Power Baser too.
Yeah.
That I reviewed. That's the other thing. You have Autobot Spike up there. I'm really excited for that. I've always wanted an Autobot Spike. It doesn't have to transform. I'm sure it doesn't. But yeah, I've always wanted an Autobot spike.
Yeah, this is a very early prototype.
And it's masterpiece size, so you know that's perfect. I actually tweeted at them, and I was like, man, I hope you. I'm really looking forward to this, and I hope you do like Quintessons and stuff, because that would be great.
They did have the one Quintesson guard in there. They also had an Alita one who was probably like the earliest prototype they have.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Like more like a rough outline of what they're going for.
Yeah, we saw Hoodlum, which Jason's showing on screen right now, and we also saw their Six Shot, which I can't think of the name right now. Hydra.
Is that Hydra? Yeah.
Yeah, they looked great too. Hoodlum, the waist is a little bit non-existent.
Yeah. Yeah, the waist turned me off. Like he is much like the Takara masterpiece, a bunch of folded in panels, his upper torso, but much more compact than the Takara Tomy version. But it all comes down to his actual waist is like one hinge.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And yeah, that kind of turned me off.
Yeah.
But everything else about it looks fantastic.
Great. Oh, no. Yeah. The figure itself looked like the paint and everything, like you're saying, from pictures looks great. It's nice to know it looks just as good in person.
I mean, those cabinets were so hard.
Look at it from the side.
Yeah. Those cabinets were so hard to get photos of the figures, just the way the lights are. But and then in Venna, he's beautiful in person.
Fantastic and huge.
Yeah.
Like Diecast let me play with, what is it, Magna or Magma or whatever the bottom piece is, but you stick Inventra on top of that thing, massive. And it looks so good.
Like it's hard to tell from that photo, but he's basically posed that way because he's from front to back taking up that whole display.
Nice.
Yeah.
And they actually had one out in the open for you to mess around with, right? Did I not see that?
They had one out on the MMC table. I don't know how much they were encouraging people to mess around with it, but they definitely had a display of stuff out. They also had the Pet and Nickel from the DJD, right, which, if I heard correctly, is actually going to be a two-pack.
Yes, that's what I heard.
Yep.
Yeah, you really won't. You weren't supposed to touch the MMC prototypes, so I didn't get to touch Inventa. I wish I would have asked. He probably would have let me pick it up, just to get the weight to see how heavy that was. But yeah, I didn't touch it at all.
MMC also had a Guzzle from the Wreckers out.
Oh,
which looked really, really good.
And that Superion that you have on display right now, the Zeta Toys, that thing is massive.
The size of a toddler.
Yeah.
Hey, I have one of those.
I'm pretty sure that's
some of this one, right?
No. I actually sent, I'm getting them again. I decided not to. And then once I saw that display, I was like, maybe I should pick them up. And it's probably going to be the size of Toy World Devastator. If people like need something to compare it to, I think it's going to be the exact same size of that, which that is a huge figure.
Like, seriously, if you save some clothes from when your kid was like two, you could probably dress the thing.
Oh, well, then guess what I can do.
That make Toys Jetfire look so good in both colors. It has a white, of course, white and red, and then a black Jetfire. That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, the black Jetfire so good.
it has a very Avengers Quinjet feel in alt mode.
Yeah,
it works. Yeah. It's a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be too. Both that and Galvatron, they're much larger than I anticipated. Only because you know the only thing we have to go off of is basically the Striker Mantis and you know Rider Despotron are the regular characters, and they did their Power Master Prime mold. But the Power Master Prime mold was like almost leader-ish size, but it had the smaller bot inside. But these are just as big, if not maybe even a little taller, the Galvatron and the Jetfire. I was very surprised. They also had the black Power Master Optimus Prime with the set that the God Bomber set, like with the actual black plastic and stuff. So that was cool to see, because we've only seen the gray on that so far. So I was very happy to see that'll be coming out because in that color, because I've certainly been wanting that ever since they showed off they were doing a God Bomber.
Yeah, God Bomber is supposed to be out this month, but
something I did not see from MMC at this show, either in the panel or on the floor anywhere, much to my annoyance, was the last two figures of the DJD, Tessaurus and Helix.
Oh, yeah, because Iron Factory had them out, didn't they? The prototypes.
Yes, yes, but MMC didn't. Mm. And somebody, as I was standing at their table, asked about them, and they said they're not allowed to talk about it.
Ooh.
I have no idea what that means.
Now, I asked them myself, and they said they're still coming. They're just a lot of work. So I didn't get a "we can't talk about it" answer. I got, you know, "we're working on them. They're going to be released. We're just, you know, we want to make," basically it sounded like they want to make them perfect, and it's taken a little bit of time because they're challenging figures.
I'm just going to say, I bought the first figure when it was a year old off of diecast at the first TFCon USA in 2014.
Yeah, guys,
I am not known for my patience.
No. Okay, so Galvatron's up right now. Diecast, did you get a good look at Cross Dimensions Galvatron?
Yeah, he's pretty big. I really want to see him in color.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those figures where I just can't tell how I'm going to like it yet. But the Jetfire, see, the reason you're not seeing the Make Toys Jetfire in the white and black yet is because that wasn't put out till later.
Okay.
They didn't put out the black one either until Sunday. They put out the black and the white and red one on the same day. They had a gray vehicle Saturday, and they put out colored of the robots on Sunday.
Yeah, and the colored ones look just so amazing.
Of course.
A lot of people like the black. I heard a lot of positive things about the black. Of course, I like my Jetfire white and red colors, so I'm definitely going to get the white one.
Wait, Jetfire or Skyfire? Because you were yelling at me for this.
No, it's okay to be Jetfire when it's not G1.
Skyfire when it's not Skyfire.
If it's G1, it's got to be Skyfire.
But Jetfire's still cooler.
No, Skyfire is the original. He's cool.
Doesn't make him cooler.
He's the OG.
All right. Yeah, that was perfect timing. I pretty much got to the end of the slides on that one. So that works out well.
Yay. Hey, one thing on that Galvatron, it looks like they've added like a lot more detail to the Galvatron.
Oh, no, that was totally there from the beginning. Because that's what everyone was complaining about.
So, I mean, in person, is it such? I mean, because it is
overwhelming, Don. Yes.
Okay, because I was hoping maybe it wasn't quite as bad as the pictures were making it out to be.
It doesn't bother me like Siege Starscream does. Like Siege Starscream's over detailing bothers me way more than this does. I mean, and colors could make it worse or it could make it better too, though. Yeah, I think colors are what we'll have to wait to see for this toy. But
yeah, but I really want to continue getting this line because I love I love Optimus, I love the Rider Megatron. I just, because I mentioned this before, it's such a jump in their design aesthetics from say Megatron to Galvatron with all that extra detailing. So I was hoping maybe in person it wouldn't be quite as overwhelming. But
another thing is that Galvatron is much bigger than their Megatron, so like the detailing is at least a little more spread out. Like if that was the size of their Megatron, I think it would be worse, but this is much larger than their Megatron, so that is another thing to take into account, the scale of all the detail at least.
All right, well, so I guess we'll get into the other news at this point. Now, real quick, just because it was brought up so much last week, and I don't want Brian to get mad that we don't mention anything about it, there were some bots shown off at MCM in London, the con over there, And we've got pictures of the toys. That, and it's not just Brian. It's, boy, everyone's talking about how much they want these little guys.
Because they're amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, we had quite a discussion about those on the podcaster's panel as well.
You get a chance to listen to those podcaster panels, especially the first one before the show open.
Yeah,
I think they're going to be a good listen.
They were pretty fun.
Do we get copies of those? Because I know they usually distribute them to each of the shows.
Yes, Jeremy's supposed to distribute them, I believe.
Okay, well, I can talk to Jeremy, so we'll make sure we get those.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think you can talk to, you talk to Jeremy, right?
Oh, yeah. Him and I, well, we still host a podcast together. We just don't do the podcast anymore.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so this was a topic of conversation then. BotBots came up a bit.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
More than a bit.
There's, you know,
there was much excitement.
King to be Toot.
Had. King, yeah, King Toot. King Toot.
Yes, the toilet troop is of particular interest to people.
And the donut, because I'm going to
feed... The donut was great controversy.
I'm going to feed the donut to Grimlock.
Which is cannibalism.
Yeah, Vangelis didn't like that I was feeding the donut to Grimlock.
He doesn't know you very well if he thought that wasn't a possibility coming from you, does he?
All right. But the pizza, he's totally cool with me feeding the pizza to Grimlock.
Yeah, he doesn't give a crap about the pizza, it's just the donut. That's what we both were just like, no, you can't feed the donut to Grimlock. Like, do some other bot. The donut is clearly the leader and amazing. And is very scarred. If you look at his face, is kind of scary. Like, he's seen some stuff. The donut.
Yeah.
That's why he's the leader.
Yeah.
Experience.
Exactly.
War torn. Yeah. All right, so we had a lot of stuff come out this week, especially most of it's Studio Series stuff. And it's nice that we have Eric here because I know Eric gets pretty excited about this stuff.
I'm excited. Well, I'm excited.
I mean, I just know it isn't Matt's favorite thing, and I have not gotten a lot of Studio Series. I passed on Bumblebee for like $5 cheaper this week just because I didn't want to get another Bumblebee. So I understand, but we did see that they are actually going to do Studio Series Devastator this weekend, and I don't think anyone really expected that until they started showing some Constructicons, and within a few days we actually knew that there was a Devastator coming out.
Yeah,
I expect the Studio Series to sort of, you know, give us a lot better detailed figures because the line has shown that they're trying to be consistent in within that line, but to do a combiner, it's mind-blowing, actually, because it's just, you just wouldn't expect this from a main line at all.
And no, also, this was a victory for someone on Twitter. I believe it may have been Ant, who had a hashtag Studio Series Devastator before Unicron.
I think he did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Ant's my friend, too.
He was, right?
Yeah, he was.
No, but the thing that's so magnificent about this is that it is the highest member team, highest number of members in the team of a combiner that Hasbro has done in a main line.
Eight, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, it's eight, and they're all at different price points. So this is very uncharted territory for Hasbro, period, because there's got to be at least one leader class in there as well. It's very possible there could be two. But we have a deluxe, we have two Voyagers, a deluxe and two Voyagers at the moment. There's got to be more Voyagers, maybe another deluxe, a leader or two. Like,
no, I don't know about that.
Because there's at least one leader.
Photo with the with their hands in it. He does not look very big.
No,
but there's no. If you know how big his torso is, but it's the fact that one of the bots is the giant thing that Optimus Prime hops on in the beginning of Revenge of the Fallen that he kills. I think, is it what's his name?
I think it was Demolisher.
Demolisher. Yeah. Although it's really the repaint of Demolisher that is actually part of Devastator.
But I mean, doesn't that Devastator have like a slumping posture too?
Yeah.
So it's bigger than the view you're looking at lets on.
I was going to say the view you're looking at is the height. You say the main bulk of it goes back where you can't see. His torso is just thick, is what it should be. So he's going to be very big. And it's just mind blowing that they all don't combine in a you know, interchangeable way whatsoever. You can't interchange these from what we're seeing. It's very unlikely that you can at all.
Well, why would they make them to do that anyway?
You because know, that's how they've released every combiner so far.
Doesn't matter. It's Studio Series. They didn't.
Except
you know,
for, except for Devastator.
I said you that isn't in a box set.
Anything on Devastator?
You mean the original?
He is probably going to be the most expensive combiner we've ever gotten from Hasbro, which is interesting. I was kind of toying with the idea maybe they were going to make this into a Titan class figure, but maybe then they decided to break it up because it wouldn't even fit the Titan class price point. So actually releasing them as individual figures allows them to get a much better combiner than what they could have gotten at the Titan price point.
I thought about that, but the more I think about it, with there being 8 Constructicons and a lot of them are Voyager or higher, most likely, that's like half of their line. So I feel like from the beginning that had to be the idea, because otherwise there's an entire half of a line that you like. I don't think they could make that much of their toy line just a concept. You know what I mean? Like, that's a large chunk to not be sure about doing how you're going to do it. I don't know.
Well, they had, like I said, their production is always, you know, in a year and a half, 2 years in advance. So I'm sure at basic concept, you know, this could have possibly been planned to be Titan or something like that. Well,
the fact that the colors and the vehicle types in these vary also makes it easier to break out into a line of figures as opposed to a box set. I mean, the variation will help it sell better.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Oh, yeah. Especially because a lot of the Constructicons we've seen so far, at least, you know, Long Haul and Rampage actually appear in the movie. Like, we see them actually do stuff. They each have their own scenes. Whereas, like, you know, the G1 Constructicons, like, I mean, they're in episodes and stuff, but none of them ever do anything super standout other than kill Prowl. So, like, you know, I not that they wouldn't sell, but I feel like to kids, they at least recognize them, especially because they look so individual, whereas the G1 Constructicons, it's like that's a lot of green and purple. Yeah, like,
all exactly the same and have similar shaped heads and bodies. Yeah,
so like there's more variation here, but I am so happy with the way they're doing this, and I never ever would have expected them to do it this way too.
Yeah,
although it isn't technically the only combiner that Studio Series revealed.
Nice.
It's a combiner. They combine.
Killing the other robot and taking his parts?
No, he didn't kill the other robot.
That's more
the other
of a leather face than a combiner?
The other robot killed itself. There's a slight difference. But yeah, we're getting the new Voyager Optimus Prime from the first movie, which looks a lot better. I still like the first Voyager from Revenge of the Fallen, but like, there's no arguing in my opinion that this is definitely better. It has a retooled chest and backpack at the very least, and then a new gun, and then leader class Jetfire, who looks pretty good, and I'm very, very happy that they can combine. That is,
he looks
also
very slim. I keep looking at him like, how does he turn into a jet? I just can't.
I'm very curious to see how he transforms looking at him. I'm just like, I don't see where most of that jet is going at the moment.
Yeah, like my Jetfire, I can look at it and like all the kibbles on the back. So this one, it looks like a lot of the kibble is missing.
I don't get it. I'm also very, very much hoping, because at the moment they've just called out that the Jetfire can combine with the new Voyager Optimus Prime. I really hope that Jetfire can combine with Revenge of the Fallen Optimus, since that is, you know, the Optimus that actually combines with Jetfire. That would be nice if he could also. I hope that both versions of the mold are compatible, but since there is some slight remolding to this version, there is the possibility that it could be incompatible with Jetfire, though I hope that is not the case.
We also
I was going to say Bonecrusher, which is a very smart wave mate for Movie 1 Optimus Prime. Just putting that out there. That was very smart placement to put that there. He looks fantastic. Very excited to see how articulated his vehicle, you know, thingy. What do you even call that?
I think that's a mine sweeper of sorts.
Yeah,
his bus flipper.
Yeah, it is a bus flipper too.
He
does.
I was going to say he flips a bus, so that's what I'm going to call it from now on. His bus flipper. It looks very good. One thing I will say is that I actually have nostalgia for the, like, is it Jungle version? It was a green repaint. I think it was Jungle. I don't think it's Force. It's Jungle. I really hope they do that repaint, because there's two figures that just the repaint, like the two figures that I've always just had weird nostalgia for the toys specifically, and this looks a lot like a better version of the previous Bone Crusher toys to me. So like, I would really love it to see it in those colors. And then the Revenge of the Fallen Starscream is the other one that I had as a kid, and they made it, the new Studio Series one match the toy colors, not the screen appearance. They totally took the base plastic color from the toy and not how he looks on screen, which normally I'd be weirded out by, but since I loved that toy as a child, I'm very, very excited for that toy. This is another case where I'm excited for Bone Crusher, and it would give me extreme nostalgia if they do the Deep Jungle version, so I really hope they do.
That Prime's vehicle mode, it really bothers me that those smokestacks don't stick up a little bit further.
Yeah.
The smokestacks are the only complaint I have about him, too.
Don?
Eric, if you would in the future, please don't say Revenge of the Fallen and When I Was a Kid together in the same sentence.
I was 10 when it came out, when the movie came out. I was 10 years old.
I don't care.
Don, you have to accept you're old.
We're all old.
I'm just saying, I shouldn't be having to equate Revenge of the Fallen to like someone being, it's just hard for me to say. It wasn't that long ago. How are you saying you're a kid? You were. It's just hard to make that time connection.
He was 8 when the first one came out, Don.
Yeah.
Even better. Almost as better as the fact there's more Studio Series that was revealed. Okay, maybe not. But yeah, so what? We have what? I don't remember the name.
Shatter.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. There's the Constructicons, because we talked about Devastator. We didn't talk about the Constructicons. There's Scrap Metal, the Deluxe, which is based off of concept art that was never actually in the movie.
Oh.
But it's still, I like it. I think he looks good. He's the only Deluxe one we have so far. And then the Voyagers, Long Haul and Rampage, who I actually really like both of them. I'm glad they did Rampage the way they did, because he has one singular, basically, peg leg.
Yeah, the pogo stick.
Know. Yeah, so I'm okay with the way they did him. He looks like he has a lot of finger articulation, but not a lot of arm articulation. So I'm very curious to see how that works. Like, he can move his arms at you, and he can't bend his elbows, but he can sure tickle you with all those finger joints. Like, I don't, a little
he's
weird.
A tickler.
Oh boy.
Long haul looks awesome.
I'll give you my pretties.
Shatter and Cogman, which Shatter isn't a triple changer. Not surprised, but no. You know, they did pick the car mode, which I think was the better choice, definitely. Yeah. I still wish for Dropkick. I wish they would have done both in the same mode, not Dropkick in helicopter and Shatter in vehicle and in car mode. But, you know, when we see the movie, it's possible that it could be like he's primarily a helicopter most of the time, just occasionally a car, and she's usually a car and occasionally a jet, but you know.
They're like, no. We're not doing triple changers.
Triple changer deluxe is not a good idea, especially with the movie aesthetic. I don't blame them.
Yeah, but remember that they scaled down the universe Galvatron because there was already too many tanks in the line. So imagine them having like two helicopters in the line as well. They would probably
They don't turn into helicopters.
The other helicopter that's coming out, the gray and blue one,
that's Dropkick.
Yeah, Dropkick
series. I wish they would have done his car mode, is what I'm saying. They're doing Dropkick as the helicopter, which he turns into a helicopter and a car. Shatter is his partner, who turns into a car and a jet. They did her as the car, him as the helicopter. So I'm like, it doesn't. I see
what you mean. Yeah, I see what you mean.
And then Cogman, which I gotta say, I'm very much okay with them doing Cogman again. I love all the silver paint on him, and I'm glad that the alt mode is silver. They actually, unlike the last night one where the car is gray and most of the silver paint went to his robot mode, they have plenty on his robot mode, and the alt mode from the in-hand pictures look like it's actually painted silver. Because for the backdrop, I'm assuming it'll probably be the chase scene where it is, you know, Titan Master Cogman driving the car. So now you'll actually have a silver painted car, so it'll look nicer if you want to display it with the scene.
There's the screen I just throw out, but I think you're right. It'll look better with the silver paint. So I would actually buy it again. I really like that mold, and it's fantastic. Actually painted is a big plus for me.
And just to continue on Studio Series, we also and on Studio Series, I believe, we also had reveals for Sideswipe, Barricade, and the World War II?
That's just the packaging.
The packaging, sorry.
Oh, wait, no. There is another figure that we didn't talk about because it was seen on the floor in one really bad picture and nowhere else, which is Leader Class Dark of the Moon Megatron.
Oh, God, I've been asking for that figure since Studio Series started. I was like, maybe we'll get a Leader Class Dark of the Moon Megatron because it's one of my favorite Megatrons. And the soft goods on it is really surprising that we're actually getting soft goods.
On a mainline Transformer, it's like the first time.
Well, up until the last night Megatron, that Dark of the Moon Megs was my favorite Megatron figure of the line. And it still is one of my favorites. It's just it got edged out a little bit by the last night version.
See, but actually what you're doing is you're paying $50 for the little Igor head by his foot, and you just get a bonus Megatron with his cloak and shotgun and such. That's actually how it works. I find it interesting that two leader classes so far have little minifigures. Half of the leader classes revealed so far have a second little tiny character, Blackout with Scorponok, and then Megatron with Igor. It's just kind of interesting.
Interesting, yeah, indeed.
But God, I love the stabby truck rust mode, and then the cloak. I want to see good pictures of it, though, because, like...
Yeah, that's all we got right
now. Yeah, how did we not get the official photos for that?
I don't know. Occasionally, but the weird thing is that we saw that before the presentation. It's not rare for, you know, the presentation to happen, we get the official images, and then people go out onto the floor and take pictures of the display, and there'll be one or two things added in that weren't in the presentation. But this was taken before the presentation even happened, and then we got no more pictures of it afterwards. So I'm guessing this may have been behind the scenes or something, because, like, no one else took a single picture of this Megatron. There's one picture of this Megatron out there, and it had to be really bad.
Someone put it out on display by mistake. No, put that away. That's for one of the other reveals.
Like, oh crap!
What I'm looking forward to in all these Studio Series is the one that we jumped over. Sideswipe. Sideswipe is consistently, you know, one of my more favorite movie molds, and I'm looking forward to him getting a Studio Series figure.
Oh, he looks fantastic. Although he was revealed a while ago.
Yeah. All right.
I'm very excited for this as well, though.
Done with Studio Series.
Aw.
So let's go on to Siege. So at the Luca Comic-Con, because apparently there's nothing but Comic-Cons that Hasbro's at in the last week or so. So we have official images. Yes. For
the first time ever. This is a new thing this year. So
yeah.
They're traveling to all these Comic-Cons in Europe, and they want to make sure the fans know that Hasbro is... as they said, aware of some distribution issues in Europe, and they want to make sure they serve those fans properly. So they're going to be working on that.
Oh, that's good. Cause I listened to one Transformers podcast out of the UK, and they never see like half of the waves of what we see. So that's good. But yeah, we have Prowl. We have, Pteraxodon, yes.
Who is indeed a Pteranodon that turns into an X, and it's wonderful.
Yes.
I disagree with you on Prowl. I don't like it.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Prowl.
Pteraxodon is wonderful. Six Gun is wonderful.
Prowl, Six Gun looks amazing.
Yes.
Prowl is not good. I love Six Gun.
What don't you like about Prowl?
No, shut up. Okay, so Prowl. Prowl is all clear plastic from his knees to his feet, and there's a lot more on the back, and his legs, like, the entirety of his legs is very, very spindly compared to his buff upper body.
And his buff upper body is too large. It should be a little smaller. It's like Power of the Primes Jazz to me, like where the car hood chest just it something about it is just off. It's not working right. Although I think this one's worse to me than Jazz was.
Yes.
But the head sculpt's fantastic. I will say that. And for some reason, I can imagine this looking better as the other versions of the mold. I think I think it being like all white doesn't help it.
Yeah. Especially being on a starkly white background. It's hard to get a good feel for this. The car mode is actually okay with me.
I think it looks like a weird shoe.
But I mean, it's appropriately futuristic/alien. Like, okay, it doesn't look exactly like, a car with, some changed detail lines or whatever. So I'm fine with that. I just find the robot to be very, very weirdly proportioned and full of unnecessary clear plastic.
I'm really hoping that my opinion, I warm up to him though, because like I don't want to hate him. Like he's the only one that so far I just do not like from Siege. Everything like, else I at least like, but him,
like Iron Hud. We all know I don't like the Decos. I'm trying not to be that negative about all this stuff anymore. Ironhide looks like a good toy. Six Gun looks just amazing, period. And yeah. I love Taraxodon, but I do not like Prowl.
Well, and then just to mention, these official photos are also on my Facebook page at Reviews by Diecast. So if you want to take a look at the official photos, you can either go to T-Formers, or if you're on Facebook and you just want to check them out on Reviews by Diecast and make sure you hit the like or follow button. I'd appreciate it.
Shameful plug. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah.
The thing about this Prowl that really makes me kind of scratch my head, and this is completely subjective, I don't know if you see it or not, but he reminds me of Titanium Prowl, which was a Toys R Us exclusive.
I don't remember Titanium Prowl.
And it was not a good toy, and I'm seeing a lot of that figure, maybe it's just me, but that the big wide chest, I'm hoping in person it'll be a bit better. It's just I actually wound up getting that Titanium Prowl because I was buying a lot of those at the time. And kind of like Ultra Magnus, for you, Diecast, I was really looking forward to getting it. And then when I got it, I was really disappointed. And I'm seeing a lot of the same design cues in here.
Titanium Prowl looks like a Prowl repaint of the Generation Stealth Bomber Deluxe Megatron to me.
Hmm.
Like, they look like they share the same body type. Like, that is exactly how his chest looks like. I just Googled Titanium Prowl because I haven't seen it before. And that's what it literally looks like to me. Is like, it's a Prowl repaint of that mold.
Yeah, but do you sort of see what I'm coming from on that, Eric, as far as, the way the chest looks? And
I see what you mean, although I think this chest is more, like, long in the front and back, and also the sides. But, like, I don't think it's like rectangular outwards towards the shoulder as it is just big in general. Now, like, I think you could just shrink the entire thing, not just from his shoulders in.
I am going to say, this could be like tricks of photography because we are staring at a white, predominantly white figure on a stark white background at kind of a weird angle. So it may look better in person or if we get, some different photos, but for right now, it's just kind of off-putting.
Like, Combiner Wars Prowl is so much better to me looking as a Prowl than this is. And that doesn't even have the car chest. Like, it has a fake flap car chest.
Hood. Yeah.
Hood. And it still just works. It reads better as Prowl to me than this does for some reason. But I totally agree with you. The white background is probably the worst way you could put this out there. So it can only get better from here, right?
Yes. Yes, we're going to, reserve final judgment until a later point, but the initial judgment is kind of rough. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind. I'm curious if Prowl.
Other versions of the mold will have another gun, because the light bar is a removable piece that attaches to his gun. So I'm guessing.
Which is kind of weird.
Well, it makes it easier to remold the figure later, because instead of retooling a section of the Transformer, now you're just actually switching out an accessory.
There's a peg hole there, yeah.
So I'm guessing the other versions of, the repaints, Blue Streak, Smokescreen, will have another gun instead of, the light bar, is my guess.
And let's see. Toy World also showed off their unofficial Last Night Bulldog That was the tank and their World War II Bumblebee prototype. Anyone have anything really to say about these?
The Bulldog tank's interesting. It weirded me out because they have the gray one, but then they also have like the weird like green and rusty version, but right. They don't have the actual paint apps on it. So it's just like, it's not gray, but it doesn't have its paint apps yet. So it's like at a state that we rarely see figures. So that kind of weirded me out. But we've already seen that one. They announced they were doing the Bumblebee before, and I initially, whenever they announced it, I was like, that's totally unnecessary, because they hadn't shown it off. They just announced they were going to do one. Like, that's totally unnecessary. Studio Series is doing one. But this does have it going for it, that it does turn into the movie-accurate alt mode.
Oh, yeah.
It turns into that car. It does not turn into the tank. And another thing that I really dig is that the trunk opens up, and you can store his weapons in there. He has, like, his forearm gun and the hammer, and you can actually take those and bunch them up and store them in the trunk. I really like that. I need to see this in color before I decide if I'm going to buy it or not.
Yeah, this is a new designer. That's why it's been a while since we've heard anything from Toy World. So I'm really interested to see the new designs and quality coming out of this new designer.
All right. So to change things up just a little bit. So they announced the tracking for the Bumblebee movie in December. They're currently projecting it'll make between 25 and 40. No, I'm sorry, 15 to $25 million. That's not good. That's terrible.
Now, who's predicting that? Is that Hasbro or is that
Paramount? It's Box Office Pro, but they do this for every movie. They're the ones who come out with the tracking to say where they think things are going to be. So I'm sure Paramount has their own internal numbers, which either match this or, God, hopefully are higher. Hopefully not lower. This happens a lot. You don't hear about it that often because, you know, movies have kind of settled into what they're going to make nowadays. Especially when the Marvel movie comes out, you know, it's going to make a lot of money and, you know, it's tracking high. A month and a half out, and it's, yeah, between $15 and $25 million, which even last night was like 40, almost $45 million. And let's see. So it comes out the same weekend as Aquaman, which, I don't think you're splitting the crowd, demo too much there. But I guess the weekend two days before that, the Mary Poppins movie comes out, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse comes out the weekend before as well. So it's not
That's going to be a big kids movie.
Yeah. So
obviously it's cartoon.
Yeah. Even if this movie does well, kids it movie, still be
I'm going to go see that one.
Well, yeah. No, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to go see that one, too.
It looked interesting.
Yes.
But no, I will see. Well, I'm a Transformers fan, so of course I'm going to see Bumblebee first before anything. But I don't know if that's fair. I think there's more hype for this movie than there was for the last night.
And our fandom there seems to be, but I think the thing is, what about outside of it? I don't know if it's getting the traction.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, each Transformers movie since Revenge of the Fallen has made less and less. So,
which is what they're basing this on.
Yes, but 15 sounds a bit low even for that.
Yeah. 15 would be ridiculous.
I mean, if you set it low and it, you know, outdoes that, that's a good thing. But if you set it that low and you don't meet those expectations, then the franchise is dead.
Yeah. So, yeah, December is going to be even more interesting now because I don't even want to think about it anymore.
But like if they had set this as a summer movie, you know, the tracking may have been a little bit different, but you know, you get one or two big holiday movies every year, but it's not the same as the summer releases. So,
right. This is just a bad year because there's so much sandwich in that little time frame, I think. So, all right. So something we'll end on a positive note, kind of, if you like shoes, I think we just lost diecast. Puma and Hasbro have teamed up to do a pair, both Bumblebee and Optimus Prime themed sneakers. Now, I will also, shameless plug number two on my other podcast. We actually did a pretty deep dive on these because my co-host David is a shoe collector. So I figure, hey, we've got a Transformer collector and a shoe collector. Why don't we talk about these shoes? Apparently, these usually retail for about $100. And he thinks the licensing could add about another $20 or so onto it. So, you know, this is just an estimate, but we're probably looking at like $100 to $120 for these. And sometimes these licensed shoes actually go up in value pretty well. I know that Adidas, I think, is doing Dragon Ball Z shoes right now that are like doubling in value. I heard that recently. I think I like the Optimus Prime ones a little better than the Bumblebee ones. So does anyone else want to buy some Transformer Puma shoes?
Truck, not cat.
I want some shoes.
There's some Transformer Pumas.
Are we actually going to be able to get these? Because a lot of the Transformer shoes, they're like a limited, like they make like 10 of them and no one can ever get them.
They're debuting in Europe next month. And I think they come to Foot Lockers in December in the U.S.
Oh, so we're actually going to get them in the U.S. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think you missed me saying it. My co-host on Povocacy and Wrestling on the Edge of Forever is a shoe collector. So I was talking to him about this. He said these shoes usually retail for about $100 and he thinks maybe the licensing will add maybe another 20 to it. Now, again, that's not set in stone. They could be cheaper. They could be more expensive. I don't know. That's just an estimate. And apparently there's like, because Adidas right now is doing Dragon Ball Z shoes that are like doubling in value. So
really?
Yeah. Actually, I found out today that
now is the hot time to do some licensed shoes is what you're saying.
I guess, because I just found out today as well that Nike is actually doing the shoes that Midori wears on My Hero Academia. They actually have a version of those shoes. So if you've seen the show, you know, he's got like the big red sneakers on and stuff, and they have a version of them now. It's apparently Japanese stuff and shoes is doing real well.
Well, never mind.
It's got Don flabbergasted. Welcome back, Eric.
Hi. I had to restart my computer. It just went into airplane mode for some reason and wouldn't come out.
I think that's because you lost your internet like I did. I lost it also.
Yeah, but my computer literally turned on airplane mode and would not let me turn it off. So I had to turn off my computer.
Well, you know, it happened right when I picked up Classic Starscream. So maybe that was...
Blame him.
That's it. Yeah. That's clearly the trigger.
Well, what I'm hearing is both of you need to go to tfradio.net/Amazon to buy new computers. That's what I'm hearing. So Diecast, Eric, get on that. Go ahead and purchase some new...
I just bought my computer.
Well, you need another one. Look, I don't make the rules, okay? I just point you in the right direction.
Yeah. And I just came from TFCon, so I'm broke.
Yeah.
You're broke.
I am destitute, yes.
Don and I don't have money.
I don't have money after paying for my new lenses.
That's true.
His bionic eyeballs.
Don, you're not helping our cause. They kept mentioning how old we were at TFCon.
Good. I'm glad it was y'all for a change.
But anytime you, if you go to tfradio.net/Amazon, anytime you buy something, it sends a little bit of, just a tiny bit of money to Brian, which is great because, you know, he pays for all the hosting and all this, and that stuff can get expensive. You can order MPM7, which is the new Bumblebee, or the Bumblebee for the new movie coming out, which apparently that might be the same, whatever that is. I think you get that for like $80 on Amazon. That's about how much the movie is going to make if the tracking's correct. So you can own Bumblebee for the amount of the movie if you'd like.
Not nice. It's not nice. I'm so excited. I have this pre-order.
I'm sure it will at least make enough money to cover a pair of shoes.
Let's hope that you can buy. Yeah, let's hope everyone on the maybe a couple people on the set can buy the Transformers shoes. You can also go to tfradio.net/shirts and you can get. Oh, I still don't see any new designs, but that just means that if you haven't bought one of the current designs, you still. Although I don't think any of these are going away, but I think it's a sign that some of you people just need to buy more shirts. That's what I'm getting.
I tell you what, I wore my headmaster's stat shirt and got compliments on it the entire day Saturday. So it's a popular one.
Yeah, and I wore the I'm a G1 guy and people were like, cool.
Well, they're very eye-catching. John did a great job on the designs. They're absolutely wonderful. So I highly suggest that everyone just go. If you haven't picked the shirt up, go ahead and get one. If you have gotten one, go ahead and go for the extra soft version. I know Brian is a big fan of the extra soft. Or just, hey, got to catch them all or buy them all.
I didn't know that there was an extra soft version.
Yeah.
Yep, I got mine were extra soft.
That sounds like a plan.
There we go. All right. I will go ahead and do the heavy lifting on what's on T-Formers this week. I found a couple things here. There is Paris Comic Con, which we did talk about earlier today. The Hasbro Transformers Global brand did do an interview there. So go ahead and check that out. You can get some details on what they were saying. And also the Transformers Legend webcomic featuring LGEX Big Powered is now available. Matt will have his own copy someday. That is for sure.
But it's called using.
Actually, yeah, you see, I don't speak or read Japanese, sadly, but, you know, yeah. I did look through the panel and it appears that there's a good Big Powered and a bad Big Powered. So I may have to buy two.
Yeah, they're just fighting themselves. It's like they look almost the same, except one has red eyes. One set of them has red eyes, the other doesn't.
Yeah, I wish. And Decepticon symbols. I wish I knew what was going on in the comic, but, you know, perhaps somebody who knows Katakana can, you know, help us out with that in time.
Nah, I think it's funnier without context.
Please translate. Please.
I wonder if Takara's keeping track of how much money Sakamoto makes them with these comics when he doubles up the figures and stuff like this.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Don, what's on the network this week?
What's on the network this week? RPG Lessons Learned, Episode 78. Guards! Dungeons and Dragons, 5th Edition. On this episode of RPG Lessons Learned, the guys were promoted within the city guard as particularly effective guards and tasked with reducing overall crime in Fallcrest.
All right. And
bad boys, what you gonna do?
And Diecast, surely you did not have enough time to put up a review before you went to TFCon this week or anything, right?
Well, I did. I reviewed Quietus, which I kept calling Quintus because I read it so quick that's what pops into my head. Just want to preface, if you watch the video, a lot of people are like, oh, didn't read the instructions. The two tabs that are on the flap where the cockpit is, the tab into the legs, they are not in the instructions. The waist swivel is also not in the instructions. And what you have to do to activate the waist swivel is you have to pull out the crotch piece a little bit, untab the panel on his back to allow the waist swivel. So yes, it does have a waist swivel, which I missed in the video, but it's not in the instructions. And I played with the figure for like 10 minutes before I actually, you know, did the video for the transformation and the review. So, and I still can't get the cockpit, the tab in, which everyone said I was doing it wrong. And I wasn't.
So basically what he's saying is stop commenting and hurting Diecast's feelings. That's the moral of the story.
And if you watch it, please understand it was a quick review because I know so many people were waiting to see the figure. I wanted to get something out there before I left for TFCon, not to get the most views, just so people could see the figure.
See, he was doing you a service, people. So
that's what I was trying to do. It's all I was trying to do. And now I get 100 comments telling me how I can't read directions and I'm an idiot. So. Well,
and a click whore.
Yeah.
Welcome to the world of toy reviews from what I hear. So congratulations. You've made it.
That's what I was actually doing while we were, you know, in post show or pre-show and stuff. I'm looking through the instructions before I spoke on the show about it. And yeah, that some of those things are definitely not in the instructions that people complained about. So
Diecast read me one of his YouTube comments in the hotel room and I was like, wow.
It was funny.
Oh, great. And remember, you can read the show notes for this episode at tfradio.net/594. You can send us a voicemail. You can call and also text. And that is 931-99-GOBOT. That is 931-994-6268. And let's see, you can find us on Twitter at TF Radio. Facebook is Facebook is facebook.com/TF Radio. You know how much I use Facebook. Instagram, TF Podcast. You can check out Rob Springer at RoboRobSpringer. And check out his website, zonebase.org. He's not here this week, so I will say you can find at that John D everywhere. You can also find XV. Well, you can certainly go to playwithphotography.com. He will certainly be happy to see you there. And you can probably also find him at ChrisRTXV on Twitter.
At ChrisRTXV. Yes.
And
don't forget at FlailThroughs and Patreon.com/FlailThroughs.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. And Don, where can everyone find you?
FlailThroughs, yeah.
Yeah, Flail.
You can find me, but I may not be there the next couple of days on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR, because after this left eye's replaced with a new lens, my depth perception may not be all that good, and reading may not be fun.
Can you set up a camera in the house so we can watch you run in the walls and stuff?
Yeah. That would be great. Mrs. Internet's Magoo. Not fast enough, or we could actually probably pull that off.
Yeah. Thanks for the concern, guys. It really touches me right somewhere.
No, Don, actually, in all honesty, best of luck with that. Hopefully everything goes smoothly and quick recovery.
Thank you, though.
Don, if you need anything, let us know. We'll send Brian up to make sure he takes care of you.
That's right. Actually, he might need a few days away. He might be coming whether you like it or not. Diecast, how about you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Reviews by Diecast, on YouTube at RFC Reviews, and also on tfradio.net/reviews, and you can follow me on Twitter at diecast2, and you can tweet at me and tell me I'm an idiot like everybody else.
Join the fun, Matt.
What?
You can find Matt at TFCon last weekend.
Yes. Yeah. And I actually did give out my Twitter when we were on the post show podcast panel. So
I was shocked. Surprised. I was really shocked.
Yeah, he didn't protest whatsoever. He just did it.
And
well, I mean, Diecast and I were the only reps there for the show, so
yeah, fair. Although, you know, Eric crosses boundaries. Speaking of Eric, how about you?
Hold on, I was sending a tweet to Diecast at the moment. It has nothing to do with the idiot tweets. No, you can find me on Twitter at Eric Crowbar, or if Instagram is your thing, at Aramis Prime there too. And then, as always, I have my own podcast network, Nerdy Geek Talk, anywhere you listen to this show, except tfradio.net. Brian, you can find this, because Brian made sure to point out the one time I said anywhere you listen to this show. He's like, not our website.
He's not wrong.
You cannot listen to my shows on the TF Radio website. So don't go to the TF Radio website looking for Nerdy Geek Talk. But anywhere else, and Steel City Bots is the main show, which, yeah. We if you want to hear more about the studio series and bots, go over there.
All right. And you can
Wait till we start finding bots.
Sooner or later. Until then, though, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Jason S. Kirk. And like I said last week, the first episode of my new podcast, Wrestling on the Edge of Forever, came out. Episode 2 will be out. If you're listening to the podcast version, it's already out. If you're watching a live stream right now, hi, it'll be out at midnight tonight. Prophecy.com, or just search on iTunes, because it's everywhere now, even Spotify. Woo, lucky me. So that'll do. Hey, not bad for a post-convention show and all kinds of convention news. So that's it. We will see you all next week.
Take care, buddy.
See you, everyone.
See ya.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required. If you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.